So we all did a great job of working out the crossword earlier. Well done. But I can imagine when it says in the passage that we saw and heard today from Luke, where it said that Mary pondered these things in her heart, I'm sure it took her years and years and probably even decades, almost certainly decades, to figure it all out. What was it all about? I mean, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, you know, but and then we go on with the rest of our lives. But guess what? On the day after Jesus' birth, Mary was in there right again, you know, doing all of the things that are associated with raising a little baby, you know, feeding, trying to get them to sleep, you know, changing them when they make a mess, all of those sorts of things, just day after day, a constant going on for Mary. And probably, you know, at a time, it's only at the times when Jesus was asleep that she maybe got a chance to do a little bit of pondering. Otherwise, it's just in with the craziness of life, the sleep-deprived craziness of having a young child in your household. But Mary was a person who pondered it. And people down through the years have pondered it and wondered about it and tried to work it all out. Because it's amazing, isn't it, that we are like this, the whole nation and the whole world is celebrating the birth of someone 2,000 years ago. It's inconceivable almost that of all of the millions of people that have lived and died, that we still celebrate the birth of this person. There must be some good reasons for that. There must be some substantial reasons for that. It's not just because Jesus had a good Instagram account. It's not just because he amassed a lot of followers. And a few weeks ago, we looked at the fact that when the early Christians came to write the story of Jesus in the books that we call the Gospels, all of them, in their own ways, strongly connected to the life of Jesus to the history of the nation of Israel. They did it by writing, including genealogies, which were in the ancient world a way of sort of doing a summary of the history. You know, you made a list of all of the names and it was like a memory jogger. Oh, that person, I remember da-da-da-da-da about what happened when they were alive. And then you go down the list of a few more. Oh, that person, I remember the name. Oh, Abraham, that's what this was all about. And Jacob, that's what all that was about. King David, that's what all that was about. And in Matthew and Luke, there are genealogies that tie the life of Jesus back into the story of Israel and even back into the story of humanity in a sort of big picture sweep of the story sense. But the gospel writers also said, well, actually no, the specific fulfillments of Old Testament prophecies in Malachi and other places that talk about a coming Messiah, and Jesus was the one who fulfilled them in amazing, unexpected ways. For those of you who are really old or getting older like me, you might have remembered a kids show that was on TV called Mr. Squiggle. And it was like a puppet who had a pencil for a nose, and kids would send in their sort of scribbles, and it was an incomprehensible scribble, and then Mr. Squiggle would start making additional markings around that incomprehensible squiggle. And then the sort of piece de resistance was at the end where the picture was turned upside down and all of a sudden it made sense. And that's what Jesus is like. There's all of these details and bits and pieces that come from the story of Israel, the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, and then Jesus comes. And then people try and figure it out and they work it out and they turn the picture upside down. And all of a sudden it makes sense. God is with us. God saves us. God forgives us. God defeats the enemy, evil and the enemies not by having a bigger sword but by dying and rising again. You see, the world is turned upside down. And Jesus fulfills and completes the story of Israel in unexpected and surprising ways. And we looked at that a few weeks ago. And then we looked at, on last Sunday, we looked at how we celebrate on Christmas the sequence of events, you know, the angels appearing to Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, and then the journey to Bethlehem and the birth and the shepherds and the wise men and Herod and all of the things associated around that. And we need to also remember the significance of those events. And on Sunday we talked how one of the significant things about Christmas is that God reveals himself to us as a humble God. a God who would leave his glory and become a vulnerable, poor baby. The humility of God is a vital element of God's character that underpins and supports God's love for us, even when we act as his enemies, or even when we're just indifferent to God. And God in Jesus has identified with us. He knows our human lived experience. He is not a God that is unfamiliar with the ups and downs of life, the challenges of getting through the day, the challenges of getting through the night, the challenges of dealing with family and politics and everything like that. God understands. God hasn't lived your exact life, but he's lived a life that's so much like yours compared to a God that hasn't done that, that God can identify with you and with me. And he deals with our fears and our failures. And so this Christmas Day, we need to also spend some time trying to work out what it all means for us. Is what I've sketched out, does that make sense to you? Does it change your perspective on life, on your world and on your future? Have any of you here actually opened your presents yet? Who's opened their presents? No one's opened their presents. Oh, a couple of people have. That's very restrained of you. I mean, we haven't opened them in our place, but I mean, when our kids were younger, if we got beyond like 6 a.m., I think we had a rule, and where they couldn't come in and wake us up before 6 a.m. And I remember one year they were standing in the kitchen looking at the digital clock on the oven, like it was 5 to 6. And then, it's 4 to 6. And then they're really excited and they're talking to each other. And they're talking to each other about it. And then I look back at the clock and it had already gone like 2 minutes past 6. They were so into talking to each other they'd missed it. And they run in and they open the presents. But you're so excited because, especially when you're younger, I'm going to get a present that might change my life. My world is different because I have a Nintendo Switch. Or my world is different because I have whatever it is. But it's not just presence, is it, that make our world different, you know? Our world is different every day because we can wake up and turn on a tap and clean water can come out of it. And we don't have to walk to a well and dig and haul up some muddy water out from the bottom of the well. Our world is different because we get to turn flick a little switch on a wall and all of a sudden our rooms fill up with light, or we can press a button on something and all of a sudden our houses get warmer or colder. We live in a different world because these things exist, right? Hundreds of years ago, these things did not exist, but they do now, and our world is different. And there are maybe special things in your life. Maybe you get an iPhone, or maybe you get a Facebook account when you're old enough, or maybe there's other things that change your life, right? Your world is different. And each day you wake up to a different world. Well, each day, you and I get to wake up to a different world because Jesus came. The world is substantially different, revolutionarily different, because Jesus came and showed us what God was like and makes a way for us to reconnect back to God. And just like we should wake every day with a fresh sense of wonder, with all of the things that make our lives amazingly different to what they would otherwise have been. I encourage you to see if you can develop a habit of waking up each day and rejoicing in the fact that you live in a different world. You live in a Christmas world. You live in a world where Jesus was born and lived and died and rose again. The world is different because of Christmas. All our Christmases have come at once is a phrase that's often used, right? And it's a phrase which is a bit weird because, like, what does it mean to have all our Christmases come at once? But what it's getting at is that so many good things have happened to you all in a short space of time that we say, wow, all of our Christmases have come at once. But you see, when we wake up each day, that's almost what we should be saying. Wow, all our Christmases have come at once. Because it's come today as well, even though it's Boxing Day or New Year's Day or just an ordinary Tuesday sometime in May, all our Christmases have come. And there's three W's when we wake up and remember that I want to leave with you today. The first one, and we've done it a bit before, is that we should worship. Chris and I were fortunate enough to visit Santorini a few years ago, and there's a ritual that happens at Santorini every evening at sunset. Boats gather down on the waters, people perch on cliff tops just to watch the sunset. And then as the sun goes down, they begin to applaud. And it starts down on the water with the boats because the sun sets for them first. And they start clapping. And then slowly the ripple of applause comes up the side of the mountain as they are applaud this magnificence that they have just seen. And when we look at the magnificence of God becoming a human so that we can reconnect to God, and we wake up to that reality each day, let's make sure that there's worship in our hearts. That's what the shepherds did. They came and worshipped. And the angels were there worshipping too, proclaiming the greatness of God. And so just have a little song or a little joyful tune or some other thing flood through your mind in the morning when you wake up to this, all your Christmases have come at once world, and worship the God who made it happen. The second thing that we should do is witness to it. Now, I'm not talking about going around and sort of getting a Bible out and whacking everybody over the head or accosting people and forcing some religion down their throats, but if all our Christmases have come at once, right, that will bring a smile to our face at least some of the time. And sometimes people might say, well, why are you so happy, David? And maybe you can say, well, I just am so glad that God is with us. And you can tell a bit of your experience, a bit of your story, just a little bit of it, not the big long saga that takes like an hour and a half, just a little bit. And it's a loving thing to do then, just to see how they're reacting to your story. Are their eyes glazing over? Are they looking at other places? Are they checking their phone? Or are they really interested? And if they're interested, maybe you can tell them a bit more. You can tell your story. Not win an argument, not try and convince somebody of something, but just bear witness to what you've seen and heard and experienced with God in your life. And the third thing I think we need to do is we need to try and work out how we make Jesus an ongoing part of each day. Now, Mary didn't have a problem with that. Mary's experience was that Jesus was just there demanding her attention 24/7. And so for her, it was like I've got to make life space in my life for Jesus, and it's going to take a substantial amount of my time and energy and effort every day. Now, the great news for you and me is that Jesus grew up. We don't have to do any of that. We don't have to do any of the hard lifting that Mary did. All we have to do is try and make some space in our lives to take Jesus with us into each day. For some people, that will start with some sort of prayer or quiet time at the beginning of the day. For other people, they just wake up in time to get to wherever they need to get to going, and they're drinking coffee in the car on the way to try and get their brain working. And they'll have a different way of working out how to take Jesus with them into their life, into their work, into their study, into their play. And you will find, I encourage you to find ways to make space in your thinking, to make space in your emotions, to make space in your attention to think about Jesus in the moments of your day. Because if Jesus really is God with us, then that's the greatest opportunity ever. It's not just confined to religious events or church buildings, but it can be a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day experience. So today, all of our Christmases have come, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Jesus shows us what God is like. Jesus connects us to God. We should respond in worship and witness. And most of all, we should work out how we can follow Jesus and be with Jesus in the moments of our days. Because that's his name, Emmanuel, God with us. So, before the craziness of the rest of today, eating turkey or going and, you know, cleaning up wrapping paper that's been strewn all across the lounge room or whatever else it is that's going to be part of your day, I'm just going to give you a few moments now just to stop and pause and reflect and focus on the fact that God has come among us in Jesus, that we are connected to God in him. And just let the amazing reality of that sink deep into your soul. Let it stir your heart. Let the joy of that begin to rise in you. No matter how crappy your day has been, how bad your year has been, just let the joy of what Jesus did at Christmas begin to expand in your soul. And say, I want to do this day with you, Jesus. I want to do this week. I want to do this coming year with you. So I just encourage you in these few moments of quiet just to focus on Jesus in whatever way helps you. Father, I pray for each one of us here that's in the building and those on the live stream. Lord, that by your Spirit that you would fill our hearts and minds with a fresh vision of your Son Jesus coming to earth for us. Fill us with a fresh sense of amazement, God. Fill us with a fresh sense of joy. In the midst of life's difficulties, may joy arise in our souls because of what you have done, what you did at Christmas, and what you do now. Come, Spirit, and do this work, we pray. Amen.